animals!
To resist, cause Cobra is strong.
Oh my goodness, we're going way over budget!
We're
barbarians! No, no, no! Cut! Cut! Cut!
You fool! This is what I want! Keep the film rolling!
Hey everybody, welcome to More Than Meets Guys. We are doing a
Subdivisions.
Thank you. God, I have that on, I have that file saved just in case.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, man, of course I do. So I'm going to creep out your friends and they listen to it.
Subdivision.
So, man, we have been we've been using Cold Slither for like jokes for a while. I've been doing those little zingers at the end of episodes. And our top YouTube video is a little 1 minute, 10 second clip I made with God Gambit clips and the song Cold Slither. And
Oh, you said God Gambit. I thought you said God something Gambit. Not appropriate for our PG-rated show.
I am always appropriate. But
okay, I just wanted to make sure.
So, so the God Gambit clip with using Cold Slither as a song. Anyways, so we did The Gambler last week. And so this week, you suggested we do Cold Slither. And I got to thank you, man. Immediately.
Well, because I was disappointed that an episode called The Gambler didn't feature any Kenny Rogers music in it. And but second of all, these were written by the same person. This was I didn't write his name down this time. Is it Charles Hill?
Charles Hill?
Michael Charles Hill. I knew it was Charles Hill. I thought I knew there was a third name in there.
Yeah, and as a little teaser for you guys, also he's agreed to come talk to us. So this week, and doing that, hopefully Ed can be there as well. I had to try to schedule because Hill's like, he's on the West Coast. We are not on the West Coast. So we're going to sit down this week and, man, pick his brain about all kinds of things that, I mean, I got to know what with this episode. I got to know.
Yeah, same. I am on the South Coast, the rarely talked about South Coast. But anyway, This is G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, Season 1, Episode 51.
Yep.
And I'm complaining about how long Transformers Season 2 is. And G.I. this is Season 1, Episode 51. But I want to get... I want to talk about something here, though, because... And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I don't remember... This is weird because this had some like later guys in it, guys that were like after like in my brain the prime of G.I. Joe here, and I didn't think that this would have been season one. I felt like those guys would have been season two, but I guess I just dumped this season that they made this thing, and then as they were making the toys, I guess is how the release schedule was. I don't know.
And the whole thing with those first, like, almost like their miniseries is like, The Revenge of Cobra or The Pyramid of Darkness, all those were like almost self-contained little miniseries they put out, but then they put them together as the whole beginning of season one. And so kind of after those initial things happened, they started bringing in a lot of the other characters, which, once again, I was looking at season one characters. I'm going, who are these people? Because there are so many characters that just show up and or don't even show up at all. They made a figure of them, and they just wanted the next one.
Hey, there were a lot of characters in G.I. Joe. But what was funny though is I went to look a couple of these guys up. I found a really cool site. I found yojo.com, which is a very good site that I've been using for years to look up G.I. Joe stuff. That is cool because you can go year by year, and it's very cool to see. Like, I'm like, oh, what all did I have from that series? That was cool. There was another one though that was just scans of the file cards.
Oh yeah,
and that was very handy for something that we're going to talk about later on in this episode. So,
oh, good.
Yeah.
man, this thing starts out though.
It just starts. It's okay. Cobra has some trucks, and they've got their own branding on the trucks.
Oh yeah.
This is real cool. You gotta like with a logo that cool. I feel like you have to stencil and spray paint that thing everywhere. It's like you're in the Misfits. You carry the screen print around with you when you go to the shows, and you just screen print people's leather jackets. That's how Cobra works at this point, I guess. This is real cool.
And the thing is, they have this whole thing where they have bases everywhere. You roll up like on some, you go to some touristy destination in the Yucatan Peninsula. You're probably gonna walk up on a Cobra base.
They're all over the place, and we're gonna talk about that in a little bit too.
Okay, yeah.
So Major Blood is here.
Oh, I love Major Blood.
Major Sebastian Blood. Do you know that it's his actual
I did
name?
not know that was his name. It actually works really well like that.
Major Sebastian Blood, yeah, who I remember from his file card. I remember he was a had a penchant for poetry. He really liked to write poems. And
Does he have an?
my best friend that I first got into G.I. Joe with back in the day, my best friend Ryan, who I usually listens to the show, I think. So hey Ryan, how's it going? I know you were a huge fan of Major Blood. I remember he got that figure, and he was just like enamored with this dude. And he had there was a little sample of his poetry on the back of a card, and he had that memorized. He would all every time we played with him, he would say that thing. And I don't remember what the poem was. I didn't look that one up, but it one of the lines was "Slap a fresh clip in your Uzi," which I thought was very cool. And
Is he West Coast representing?
he didn't even come with an Uzi is the thing though. He didn't have a, see, what I thought was funny about Major Blood is that he had a bionic arm. One of his arms was a bionic arm. So the way they modeled that on the figure was it didn't move. He didn't have an elbow or a biceps articulation. He didn't have a swivel arm battle grip or an elbow there. It was like a straight, like kind of curved arm. And I always thought that was silly because if you're gonna have a bionic arm, I would think it would be more flexible than a regular arm. But that was cool. But anyway, so these Cobra dudes are unloading some stuff here at the orders of Major Blood, and Cover Girl comes rolling up in an awe striker. Do you have the awe striker when you were a kid?
I did not, but I also wanted to ask, man, how difficult is it to tell the difference between Cover Girl and Scarlet?
Well, Scarlet has long red hair and Cover Girl has short brown hair, so it's not very difficult at all to tell them
All right, well,
apart.
I'm sorry, man. I guess I'm not as much of a Yo fan.
How hard is it to tell Sunstreaker from Sideswipe?
Well, yeah, those are primary colors, man.
Red and brown.
Red and okay. If you look at it, if you look
What?
someone, I have
How
red
hard
in
is
my
it? How hard
hair.
is it to tell you from me?
Oh man, come on. That's not fair. Yeah,
Scarlet, okay.
they all look alike.
Okay, so Scarlet,
Look, Cover Girl, Cover Girl.
Cover Girl was a model. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's why she got her name, Cover Girl.
That's right. Which is like I don't know. That's some brand synergy they got going on there. That's a
Yeah.
brand of makeup back in the day. But she came with a tank called the Wolverine that had it came with a bazillion missiles. That each missile had like two stickers, two Beware of Blast stickers that went on
Oh,
it,
God, I
and
remember this.
it was awful because there were certain Joe vehicles that just came with massive amounts of stickers, and they were a pain to put. It was one of those Christmas morning things where your dad was just like, I've got to put 74 no step stickers on this Sky Strikers wing flaps, and I could just see the pain in my dad's face like getting these things straight. But I took that the Wolverine when I got the Wolverine. I went to stay with my grandparents, and they had an old house that didn't have central heating and air, and the heat in the house just made all those stickers just curl up and just kind of like slide off of the thing. So for years, I had sticky missiles
Yeah,
on my
they're those
Wolverine. It's
clear
just missiles.
stickers,
It
right?
wasn't the Wolverine itself. It was just the missiles because I think it had 16 missiles. I think it had like two racks of eight, I think is how it worked. That was a cool toy though.
But they had like all those little clear stickers, right? They're like almost like cellophane with a glue.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I
Yeah.
remember those
Exactly. They
well.
were clear. They just had the text. It was almost like a they were almost like decals, like bucket decals, but they were stickers.
Yeah, I
But,
remember
so
that.
anyway, she comes rolling up in the all striker. Did you say you had the all striker or no? Because I didn't have it either, and it was one of those things that it was. That was in that wave of things where they were doing newer versions of things that had already come out, like things that had the same role as things that had already come out. So I already had the Vamp. I had a Jeep already.
Oh yeah, I did
I
too.
didn't, yeah. So I didn't need like a dune buggy Jeep. I already had a Jeep with a laser cannon on it. I didn't need another one.
Unfortunately, they use the All Striker all the time.
They use the Longstriker all the time. And I was real annoyed because they redid the Vamp at some point too, because the Vamp initially was a Jeep that had a laser cannon on the back. They redid it as the Vamp Mark II that had a had four missiles on the back of it. And I hated that because I was
tan,
like,
right?
what's that?
Didn't he, wasn't it tan?
They did redo it in tan. You're
Yes, so
absolutely right.
I had the tan one. I know that.
Yeah. And I was irritated because it's like you can shoot four times and then you're done. With a laser cannon, you can just keep shooting forever.
You know that's not right. You know, if you ever watch any of these episodes, they will fire all four missiles and then they're
Although
never there
I
again.
know. I know they will.
Yeah, they just push up like they're like teeth. They can push right up.
So G.I. Joe pulls up. They just open fire on these poor Cobra guys. They have no idea. They're not going to check it, see if anything's weird, if it's like a false flag, or if what they're doing, they're not going to arrest these guys or anything like that. They are coming in and blasting with these with laser artillery on the back of these all strikers.
I was so excited to see Gung Ho on the back, one of the All Strikers on the gun, just laying waste to these trailers, just with abandon shooting. It doesn't matter if he shot a building, a truck, a dude, a scorpion. It
No,
doesn't matter.
whatever, dude. This dude just wanted to unload, and because this is Gung Ho was a guy that I don't know if did you have that? Was that a figure that you
I
had?
did not have the figure I knew of it. I never had it.
He was a big buff Marine guy that just wore a vest. All he wore was a vest, and he had a
Big old
giant
Marine tattoo on his
Marine. Yeah, he
chest.
had a Marine globe, but the weapon he came with was just a grenade launcher. It was just that's just how he rolled, was just grenade launcher. He didn't have like a rifle with a grenade launcher on it.
Yeah.
He just chucked grenades all day
Big
long. This
dude.
dude
Also later on they released him in like dress blues. I don't know if you saw that.
that was a very cool figure, actually. That
Yeah, it was really cool.
I like that one a lot, because he had the dress things with the saber and the hat and all that stuff. That was
Yeah.
a very cool figure. So but right after they start shooting from these all strikers, these dune buggies, basically, right then a sky striker comes out of the sky and just starts lobbing missiles at the at this truck. Where what like that's an F-14. You know how fast that thing goes?
And the best part about that is it swoops in like 5 feet from the ground and pulls back
Oh,
up like it's nothing.
I mean, the pilot's name is Ace. He can, if
Yes.
anybody can do this, he can do this,
Yeah.
okay? Like,
It's like the there's the G.I. Joe deep sea diver deep six.
Deep
If
Six, right?
he was going to deep six someone, it's going to be that guy. He's going to
It's gonna
take
be that
that.
guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Of course.
when I was a kid, we were playing in my backyard once, and I remember the Sky Striker came with two seats that had plastic parachutes. So you'd take them out like ejector seats. You'd throw them in the air, and the guys would parachute down. So my friend just took one of them out with Ace in it and hurled it up, and like the wind caught it and it
Oh
like
no.
it drifted to the roof of my house. And so like Ace was on the roof of my house for probably like 2 years before we got him down.
Yeah,
And yeah, I was real mad about that. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, you conspiracy-addled wingnut.
tell us more about Brian.
I've talked about Brian on the show before.
So yeah, man. But also I'm really here for Firefly. I don't see enough things with Firefly.
Firefly is awesome, because Firefly is one of those guys that when you were a kid and you got that figure, it was like, who is this dude? What does he do? He's a
He's a
saboteur.
ninja. He
He's a
looks
saboteur. He was a
like
saboteur.
he looks like a gray ninja.
He looks like a gray camouflage ninja. And like that was when I was a kid, I'd never seen gray camouflage. How cool is gray camouflage? He was real cool. And also but around the time that I got him, I also got the like Cobra had that the set was called the Cobra Night Landing. It was a like a Zodiac raft
I do
that
remember that, so that was really cool. I really like that.
he paired up real cool with that, because it
Oh
was like
yeah.
he could go in like at night and
He
go
looked
in
like
and
he was going to take care of some South American government in the middle of the night. You know, he's going to take
Well,
the thing out.
since he's Cobra, I think he was probably going to take care of like some
Oh,
North American the
he was
government.
going after SEAL Team 6, who was going after some Central American despot who we're going to put in a new democratic. Okay,
Right.
I got you. I got you. Makes sense. Counter
So
counterterrorism.
he was, but yeah, he was a real cool looking guy. I liked him. I was
Yeah.
a huge fan of him when I was a kid, because he looked a lot like Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow and Beachhead. He looked a lot
Beachhead
like
is the other one, yeah.
those kind of commando guys with the balaclavas and everything.
Yeah.
We get the G.I. Joe Slugger pulls up, which is like an artillery piece on six wheels. It kind of shows in
Oh
the
yeah.
background,
It
and
was one of those really impractical things, but it was just whatever. Cool.
This is literally 2 minutes into this episode, and there's three toys that I want right now. Like,
Okay. I gotta say that real quick now. Whenever you get those old catalogs, whenever you got the toy, and they have these really limited things, like Transformers is the same way. You could send away for these toys. They always had like the G.I. Joe and Cobra gliders, like the one you had that. They also, I maybe this is like a Mandela effect of me. I think they had like Cobra trucks, like covered trucks. Maybe it might be a Mandela effect.
No, there wasn't a Cobra one. I think there may have been one later on that was a like a recolor of the G.I. Joe one, because they did a lot of that later on. There was the G.I. Joe, like the APC, the armored personnel carrier, that it was like a big like a deuce and a half almost, or it was amphibious personnel carrier, because it would
Yeah,
float.
I
It
know.
actually floated in the water,
Yeah,
but the
it was.
cover would come off and it had seats in it, and then what was cool is the bumper on the back pulled out. And you can use like a carrying case. So
Oh, nice.
if your G.I. Joes were seat belted in like they should have been, and everything was sealed up right, you could just pick it up and carry all your G.I. Joes or your friends' models.
A real American hero would use a seatbelt, so yeah, he should be strapped in.
It's Ralph Nader, a real American hero.
So, man, okay, so they like they go and lay waste to all the Cobras, and they go in there, they raid the base, and they find this treasure room. They find Smaug's hoard here, and there is a freaking Mona Lisa
Cobra's got the Mona Lisa in there, dude.
sitting in
Dude,
some desert base.
they've got some bags with like money symbols on them. Which, did you know that Gene Simmons from Kiss owns the trademark on the bag of money?
Okay, look, first of all, no, I did not. And
He
second of all, I
does.
can totally see that. I'd be
You
like,
can't
hey,
use that without paying him money.
that's how he stays afloat
That's
all
how he
these
stays. That's how he
years.
stays rich.
Does Scrooge McDuck know that he has that?
Man, I don't know, man.
Okay, not okay at all.
They seize all this stuff, man. And so the next scene, this is so, oh my God, this is so good.
I'm so happy with this next scene.
Cobra Commander is meeting with Tomax and Zaymot. So
Yes.
Transformers fans, if you're not familiar with Tomax and Zaymot, these are two twins. You can only tell them apart because one parts their hair on one side, one parts their hair on the other side, and also one has a scar on his
Yeah,
cheek.
but
Think
they
Tomax.
dress. They look. All right, now this is. I hope I don't push anyone out for this. And that they look like Reaganites. They are wearing the same blue sport coat and khaki slacks and red tie, exactly the same. And they.
No, these guys are definitely 80s corporate raider types. They're
Yeah,
they own a thing called Extensive Enterprises, which
I love that name so much.
is great. And what was funny is years ago, years and years, like in like 1997 or something like that, when I was registering my copy of Windows, it was like asking me for my company name. And I put Extensive Enterprises in there. And I migrated my data so often that that carried over like well into like Windows XP. Like
That's
for
brutal.
probably up to 2005, I
Yeah.
had things registered under Extensive Enterprises. But yeah, so what I guess what you find out here, and this is one of those things that I think the seed of this idea was probably from the comic books, because Larry Hama, we've talked about before, Larry Hama wrote the comics, and he was kind of the lore master of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And I think that this is an idea that probably came from him. I would really like to talk to oh my God, I don't have the
Michael
name.
Charles Hill.
Yes, Michael Charles Hill. So I would very much like to talk to him about this, because I wonder if it's one of those things where it's like there was like a G.I. Joe Bible that Hama had, that they just kind of pulled ideas from and wrote this kind of stuff. But I get what you kind of find out here, and I don't know if this ever was ever really touched on before, was that I guess on some level, Extensive Enterprises funds Cobra, which is.
Well, I kind of get like they're the Enron of Cobra. They're like have they have securities and hedge funds built with that's like supporting Cobra, and like Cobra Commander does these heists, and we don't see the ones he actually gets away with. And we assume that JoJo stops them all. You can't stop them all, so I'm sure there are heists and those treasure hoards like Smaug's hoard that he had there in the desert. It probably what they put those up for collateral for securities and basically fund the operation.
Well, also in the comics, though, also they touch on the fact that
Oh, yes.
Cobra Commander was basically an Amway salesman.
Yes,
He
he was an Amway
was
salesman.
a multi-level marketer.
I forget that all the time. He
Yeah,
was
and
an Amway salesman.
that's where the money from Cobra came from, was
He
that
was the head of the pyramid, man.
he was the top of the pyramid, and he started out somehow got he transitioned over into terrorism. But so
That is one of the weirdest, mundane, everyday
it's
things.
God,
That
I so weird
honestly,
and cool.
the
But I
G.I.
mean,
Joe lore is so amazing in that way.
well, I mean, we talk on Transformers a lot. We talk about real world factors creeping into the episodes, I don't know how prevalent it is these days, but I mean, Amway was kind of a boogeyman around this time,
Oh yeah.
and so that kind of makes sense. But and I'll tell my Amway story at the end here, because
Okay, yeah.
I'm afraid to derail this. But so Tomax and Zaymot tell Cobra Commander that he's broke, that Cobra is broke and out of business, and because all of the Cobra troopers are filing for unemployment. And
In their uniforms.
dude, we cut to the unemployment line and they're all in their uniforms.
That's the best thing. They're all in the Cobra uniforms and aligned with their paper for unemployment.
They all have like the mask, and the Cobra uniform is like a German like steel helmet with a ninja mask. And so it's like dozens of these guys. And I'm like, you guys are
Sorry.
known terrorists to the point that the U.S. government has a special task force just to kill you guys.
But
But
look, man.
they're
Their profit shares are at risk here because of the risky investments from excessive enterprises on behalf of Cobra. So they have to like unemployment.
My God, this is great.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is awesome. So yeah, Cobra Commander's is broke. Cobra's broke and out of business. And so it's implied within the context of the next scenes, it's implied that G.I. Joe is now bored. They have nothing to do anymore because they're so we first we cut to some G.I. Joe guys watching football, which is it's if you look at the uniforms, it's the Steelers versus the 49ers.
Yep, I saw this. Actually, I thought it
Yeah,
was
so
the 49ers versus the Raiders.
that's what I meant. That's what I meant.
Okay.
I typed Steelers. I meant the Raiders.
Yeah,
But
I'm right there with you.
so the QB here is from the Steelers, or from the
The Raiders.
Raiders, is
Yeah.
number 13, which is Hunter Renfrew's number right now, or was until I guess he got traded like a couple weeks ago. But so on G.I. Joe, he throws an interception, which is very on
Very
brand
Raiders,
for
yeah.
Hunter Renfrew. But he threw it to number 10. Number 10 from the 49ers picked him off, which that is a quarterback's number.
Yeah, it is. I really didn't think about that. You're right.
Yeah. So I guess the QB just jumped. Just I guess would have been Joe Montana just ran on the field. He wasn't number 10, but I guess he just ran on the field and picked him off and ran it back for a.
What are free safeties? What number, area are they?
Free say, I mean, d defense are normally higher, are normally
Well,
higher numbers, though. So
they
maybe
are. I'm trying to think free safeties. I don't know.
I can't remember, but
Yeah,
I do
I
know. I
kind
mean,
of
like 1 through 10 are typically going to be
typically, yeah.
typically. And I know they changed it a lot lately, but
Yeah, but
so that was cool.
they are like they're watching football and Cobra interrupts the broadcast. Like a good salesman. He's like, I'm gonna take 60 seconds during the football game.
Yeah, this was cool.
And
It's
he's yeah.
just some empty promises. Like it's the same stuff that Cobra usually puts out. So G.I. Joe's like, Duke's like, man, I guess we just gotta go. I guess we gotta go check these guys out.
Oh yeah.
So they find this Cobra, they fly somewhere and they find this Cobra fortress. And I'm just saying that maybe if Cobra didn't spend so much money on these giant snake statues on every fortress they have, they may still be solvent.
Look, it's branding. You gotta have branding. They can't just spray paint their Cobra head on everything.
I know you gotta have branding. These guys, it's giant sculptures of big snake heads, these massive snake heads. And I'm just and like Tomax and Zaymot need to audit. We need the books here, because somebody's cooking the books. Destro is making too much money off this. He's pocketing all this money
Oh
over
yeah,
here.
man. He's the arms salesman. He's definitely going to be making his cut of this,
Oh,
which he will come in later anyways.
He will come in. He will come in later. So in here we see the gliders. We see Duke and somebody else on these gliders.
Branded. So,
I remember these gliders, and these were, of all the G.I. Joe toys, these were possibly the worst. And because they were just, they were this flimsy foam. They were supposed to be where it was a piece of plastic that had a, like a hole for the dude would clamp onto it, sort of. And that, like, that plastic thing, like, clipped onto this giant foam glider, which you would throw. You would, in real life, you would actually throw it, and it would glide, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It kind of worked.
45 seconds, it was amazing until it hit the tree, or you picked it up by the wing, and it, and the foam just, because it was like paper thin foam. It was like
reminds me of this when we were younger, they had those big like styrofoam planes with you go out there and they're like this wide, you throw them and they're like, they do cool loops, and it hit a tree and like a wing would come off.
And the wing just comes right off. I had one of those. But I remember around the time that glider came out, it was my friend Ryan. Once again, let's talk about Ryan. It was his birthday, and my dad and I went to the store to get him a present. I was like, Dad, can we get him a G.I. Joe thing? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, you can get him something. You can get yourself something small if you want to. And
that's really cool.
And I was like, maybe I'll get a figure or something like that. But I couldn't find a figure I didn't have. So, but they had a really cool thing where they had like a blister pack that just had guns and backpacks in it.
Oh, I love those things. Yeah,
the weapons accessory pack. And I was like, well, Dad, can I get this? And he's like, yeah. And so like, I got that, and I got Ryan the glider for his birthday that year. And I was like, while we were wrapping up, I was like, man, I kind of want to keep the glider for myself, man. But now I'm like, oh, I gave Ryan the glider. And now I'm like, oh man, I ended up with a better toy. I ended up with a way better toy. So, hey, Ryan, sorry about, giving the glider, back in 1984. We had a really good time playing with that day.
For 5 minutes. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So we go, They hit the base, so they glide into the base, and I think we dreamt ahead a little. I don't know, maybe we didn't. Yeah, they find out this Tomax and Zaymont are foreclosing on and auctioning off this Cobra base. They are leading around like the worst terrorist country leaders around this Cobra base in this mountain. Like it's fine. Like, oh, we are foreclosing on, and the other guy, the other one ends up like on other assets. We are trying to find a way to make us not, it's basically make it solvent. Like they're trying to reclaim their assets. So,
they've got like this group of the guy that's not the Ayatollah Khomeini. There's basically not every bad guy from like the news in 1904 here. There's like not Muammar Gaddafi. There's like not the Shah, and. It was
surprised not a guy in a green military uniform with a cigar, then sunglasses.
It was not Fidel Castro was hanging out there. So this was real cool.
We did around like a tour.
They're like real estate agents selling this on this house over here. And like over here, you'll see the extensive kitchens they find a hangar with a bunch of his tanks and like cardboard cutouts of Cobra troops. And this was real, like Duke was real mad, and he pushed him over and made like the dominoes fall. But we find out what's going on here.
So
we have Cobra Commander and Firefly, and they're going to a place called Stinky's Billiards Emporium.
They also are like walking through a bunch of homeless guys, like warming their hands off over trash cans in complete disguise with like khaki colored trench coats.
Okay. All right. So I got to talk about this.
Okay, please, man.
So friend of the show, Jehu, back in the day, he used to work at a comic book shop back in the day. And he and his friends there, because like back in this, in like old Fantastic Four comics, the Thing would often wear this disguise where he would have like on like a tan trench coat, and he'd put on a hat, and some sunglasses, which is ridiculous, which is absolutely ridiculous because he's, the thing is massive. The thing, you know, the thing weighs like 2 tons or something like that. And he's just a gargantuan man. So you see like a dude as wide as a Volkswagen wearing a trench coat. And you're like, I wonder who that is. I wonder who that guy is.
Yeah.
Raphael from Ninja Turtles favored this also. There ended up being a slang term for it. For him wearing this, and in the 90s, there were tons of Marvel Comics action figures. They made just millions of these different figures, and they were always on clearance at KB Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You could get them all for like $2.99 back then, and so they made this, and he called him "porno going thing" in the trench coat, and that is just the slang of what my circle of friends is called thing figure with a trench coat on. Cause it's like, you go into an adult theater. And so when I saw these guys, I was like, two of them. that was exactly what I thought of.
Stinky's Billiards Hall.
So they're going to Stinky's Billiards Hall. So,
there's one of the guys out there is like, oh, I see the aliens have landed or something like that.
Yeah. And I deduced that they have to be in New Orleans, because of something that happens in a minute, they're probably in New Orleans right here. And I'm like a dude walk around in a silver mask with sunglasses on it over it, wearing a trench coat and a hat, is probably the most normal thing you'd see
mm-hmm.
in this neighborhood in New Orleans.
They go into Stinky's Billiards Hall. They go right to the back door and knock on it, and this guy pulls open this little keyhole things. And it recognizes him, like, well, obviously, it's come on in, guys. Waiting for you.
He's done business here before. This is how he does business, apparently. You know?
So, yeah, they go in this room, and the best stereotype of a gangster who is a little person.
He's a dwarf, well, or a midget, little person, I guess is the right
Lilliputian, we'll say that. He is very small. And he's wearing a wife beater and a hat, and he doesn't know real words. And
he has a briefcase full of money, and he calls it soft currencibles. I was like, is that a word that I don't know? Is that like? It might be. I don't know. I didn't bother to look it up. I just thought it was a funny term.
I mean, soft currencibles. There was a whole thing at the beginning. It's like, so how can I be of abstinence to use? Yeah, I think you mean assistance. I said what I said.
This was great.
I was trying to be specializable, not social.
So he's basically, I guess he's fronting Cobra Commander some money, but as part of the deal, he wants to see Cobra Commanders. We're going to take the mask off.
Show me your face.
You want to see the face. And he's wearing the full battle mask here. I guess this is before they started going into the hood. I don't know. Cause the hood, I think, would be more comfortable than wearing a battle mask around. So,
but he wears that later. Anyways.
You're right. He does.
He's like, I want to see your face. And he gives him, by the way, $100,000 at a 400% interest rate. Michael Charles Hill, you love exorbitant rates from gangsters. They did the same thing with Gambler.
He does. Yeah. He absolutely.
I will front you this money if I expect 400%.
That's a lot. That's like, dude, that was like the interest I was paying on my car when I was when my credit was wrecked. Yeah. So they leave, and the sign now says Snicky's.
I saw the same thing.
They messed up.
It's like AI art made a sign on the outside. Yeah. It's Snicky's. Yeah. And they escape in the Cobra hovercraft.
Not a hovercraft. It's a hydrofoil. Not a hydrofoil. It doesn't hover. It's like a fan boat.
Oh, you're basically. Right. It's like a swamp boat. It's the eel, wasn't it?
It's the water moccasin.
Water moccasin.
And so now we're up to yet another toy that I just really want to buy. This is another one that I had.
That was a cool one. And I did too.
Loved this thing. This was one of the coolest. Because there was that era, like the second or third wave of G.I. Joe when Cobra and G.I. Joe were getting the same type of thing, but the Cobra one was always smaller, but it was always like a little bit better. It was always like cooler when you think about it. Usually, there was the G.I. Joe hovercraft, the killer whale, which was massive. That thing was huge, but it was hard to play with because it was so big.
Dude, it was almost like a tub all the time.
So did I. And my screws rusted. I remember my grandma being real concerned that the screws were going to rust and fall apart. But but no, the water moccasin was way easier to play with. You could do more with it. So like the Sky Striker and the Rattler came out at the same time, and those were both extremely cool toys. And I can't say one's better than the other.
I had the Sky Striker. I loved it.
Yeah.
There's that lever on the top. You pull back, the wings would come out.
Yeah. It's an amazing toy. I have a friend that collects just those. He doesn't collect any other G.I. Joe. He just collects Sky Striker. He's got like four of them now. Yeah. That was a fantastic thing. So
Man, Destro is down in the water moccasin waiting for them to show up. But like, you know, I guess he's trying to secure his income also.
Yeah, he's got the Baroness with him. His lady, the Baroness. Who I don't know what she was a Baroness of.
Maybe she has a little castle where they all dress up in animal masks like Destro does. Who knows?
Well, yeah, Destro canonically. Yeah, that was what was weird about Destro is they did that origin episode of Destro. And so Destro just wears a steel mask.
Yeah. He's like in the iron mask, essentially.
Yeah, it's just like a metal mask. But he goes to like Castle Destro, like he's part of this like Scottish clan or whatever, even though he has no accent, he has no Scottish accent at all. But the whole clan like wear these like animal masks, and it's like, oh, that's the tradition. We all wear a mask, we all wear animal masks. I'm like, well, why doesn't he have an animal mask?
He's special. He's metal. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's also apparently related to Lady J with that. So he's like, this looks suspiciously like the way to Zartan's lair.
I'm like,
there is so much like little sniping back and forth, like, and like Kirk Commando is like, my Destro, your intelligence succeeded only by your good looks.
Oh man,
the mean girl stuff back and forth with them.
They just hated each other.
Oh yeah.
So I noticed here, having seen the Baroness in like two different scenes now, that they are drawing her like she has Bell's palsy this entire time. Half her face is constantly melting in this one. Zartan's like a super cool dude though, man. This dude is like a ninja that lives in a swamp, and he's got a bunch of these like heavy metal dudes that just like work for him, and he's got like illusions everywhere. He can change colors. This guy is awesome. An action figure that back in the day, like Zartan, like actually like changed color. He was a master of disguise with this whole thing. If you put him out in the sun, he would turn blue. And I think it's just that standard thing, but that, you know, that toy effect that, you know, like if you get cold water on this thing, it turns this color. If you get it warm, it turns back. But so when we were kids, though, we were probably like 8 or 9 when this came out, I guess. And like, how do they do that? It's a man. How does this work? So a friend of mine was like, oh, I know how they do it. It's chemicals. And we're like, oh, well, of course. How didn't I think of it that it was chemicals? And he's like, yeah, man, you can taste it and taste the chemicals because he tastes different than a normal G.I. Joe. And so there was a rash of all of my friend circle licking. Everyone licked their Zartan.
And you all got mono.
See what he tasted like. And we licked our own Zartan. We didn't lick one Zartan.
You didn't like, say the part that I'm assuming. I'm around a circle.
I said we licked our Zartans. Plural Zartan. It's not like one. The plural,
man. Like maybe y'all pulled your money together, had one Zartan to lick. I don't know, man.
Hard to get because you couldn't buy him by himself. He only came with the little swamp buggy. He was more
expensive. Which also changed colors.
Also changed colors.
That's right. Yeah. Really cool toy. Yeah. I had that myself. He had that weird chest armor that was clear.
But if he was wearing that, it blocked the UV out, so he wouldn't change colors there if he was wearing that.
Yeah, I'm like,
but it was like a crop top though. Remember, like it was big, like a, his belly would stick out of it.
Yeah, he did.
That was probably dudes could do that in the '80s though. You gotta remember.
Actually, you're right.
Like Eddie Murphy, like to wear like a crop top back in the day. So Cobra Commander gives Zartan a bunch of money, and they have a plan. They've made some music. I don't know where this music came from, but
oh yeah, Destro's made a rock roll subliminal program.
Yeah, and they're gonna pay the Dreadnoks. The Dreadnoks are these guys that look like roadies or bikers from 70s.
Ripper, Cutter, and Torch, right?
Ripper, a Buzzer.
Buzzer, not yeah.
Buzzer had the had the saw. He had Ripper had like a gun with a big bayonet on it, and Torch yeah. had a
Ambler.
Torch. And they looked like dirtbag bikers. These guys were awesome.
They look like they belong on they're action figures for like the Road Warrior, like the gang.
Yeah, they're very Road Warrior.
Great.
And they're gonna pay these guys $5 an hour to lip sync.
$5 whole dollars.
And they're excited about it. What was Zartan paying?
Man, look, I don't know. I know that when I first got a job in 1993, I was making $4.25 an hour. These guys are getting premium rates.
This was twice minimum wage in this year. So I mean, like it's decent, but I'm still like, you guys are like international terrorists, man. What like how much you how, like what what's the how much were those Cobra guys making that are in the unemployment line? What was their salary?
Well, they didn't have to worry about other clothing. They just wore their uniforms everywhere, apparently. So
well, I mean, how much rent did that swamp house cost that the Dreadnoughts lived in?
Oh, they didn't. That it didn't cost any rent.
Dude, it had computers in it. Did you see when they hit? There was like an illusion, and it had like the like computers and stuff in it. Dude, I'm saying, man, like
they knocked over a Radio Shack for that. You know they did.
you probably did.
Yeah. So we go back to the Joes. Bazooka is playing golf at the GI Joe base.
Oh no! We got something. We got something else before that happens.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hold on. Yeah, we got something. Okay, so they're shooting the video. Zartan, a Cobra Commander, and Zartan have hired a director. This is the most typical looking director. This dude's got on like a short sleeve jumpsuit. He's got like an ascot on and like a beret. Mm-hmm. This dude is like this
looks
dude
like was Scooby Doo.
Yeah, this guy's great. So, he's the director, I guess, and they're shooting the video for Cold Slither. They're all the Dreadnoughts are lip syncing here, and Zartan's got this awesome like red wig on, but he still has like this he's got this face paint on. He looks like the singer from the black metal band Immortal, and so he's a master of disguise, but he's always got face paint on. So I don't like okay, yeah, you got red hair now, buddy, but you still look like a bath from the world.
He looks like any like glam band guy from the '80s. It's fine
here. Yeah, he does here. So, but the producer here is angry because they're going into overtime, and there's
a budget
about going into overtime, and I, because I briefly worked in film, I was like, that's absolutely spot on accurate. I was like, oh, all right. So I was hoping he was going to invoke the pizza rule about this. So
what's the pizza rule?
There's okay. So if you go into overtime. And this is the kind of a hazy memory, but if you go into overtime, there's a rule that that or after X amount of time, you have to the producer has to buy everyone dinner. So they have to pay for dinner. And this is after they've already bought you lunch or whatever. But but there's a rule there that says that and this was negotiated into the contract with the actors and the like the actor, I think Actors Guild, the Directors Guild, and the IATSE, the guys that are like the the grips and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they can only out of all these times, if they do this more than once, they can only the bonus meal, the overtime meal, can only be pizza one day a week. So they can't just cop out and order pizza.
Oh, nice!
5 days in a row if they're going into overtime, so that they can only do that one day a week or something like that. So I was like. Oh, say the pizza. So, so now we get the golfs. Okay, so we're back at the G.I. Joe's, at the G.I. Joe headquarters, the pit, mm-hmm. as it's called in the comic books. So Bazooka,
four.
He's so understandable. Four. He cracks this ball and it just sails in front of the headquarters. And so we cut to Gung Ho is on a high dive,
mm-hmm.
and this golf ball cracks him in the head, and he falls off the high dive into the water, and he splashes Lady J, who is either Lady J or Cover Girl. I'm not sure. Cause they weren't in their uniform. I couldn't tell. So
she has short hair.
Well, they both have short.
No, not as short. Lady J is like the little pixie cut.
Lady J, oh yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. So she gets splashed off the raft, and, mm-hmm. So then the ball flies up and it hits a grill where I believe that this was Flint was grilling some food.
No, it was barbecue.
Oh, that makes a lot of, see, normally you only see barbecue in the full blown, like, like firefighting gear. So yeah,
yeah, that actually, makes and he's it's great because he's supposed to be from Maine. So when he talks, he's like, "Yeah, you're ready for your buggers."
That's it's, right. You're, yes. you're right.
And so, which that accent will really piss off my ex-wife. Anyways, the ball lands in Alpine salad.
That was I thought that was Doc, but you're right. That was
Alpine. Man. He looked cool. He's got his hat on. He's got his rock climbing gear on him all the time.
On him while he's sitting outside.
Yeah.
What in God's name is he eating? Because at first I was like, is that like some nachos or something? But it's just like covered in guacamole, if so.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, maybe it is a salad, but he's reaching over and eating the salad with his hands. He's just picking up chunks of salad or whatever it is with his hands and eating it. But so he picks up. He's reading a magazine or something, and he picks up something. He picks up what he thinks is a piece of it, right? And he puts it in his mouth. So you know the gag is going to be that he picks up the golf ball. But the animation messes up here, and the animation leaves the white golf ball in the plate, and then but then he picks up the golf ball, and it just animates off the top of it. But they colored it green, so it looks like he picked up a big Brussels sprout and ate it. And then he gets mad about this. But this whole sequence reminded me of like way back in the day. One of the guys that I played G.I. Joe with was this dude Joey, who was a little bit older than my immediate circle of friends, but he lived in the same neighborhood, and he taught me how to play D&D or whatever. And but this dude was one of those guys that was just perennially just full of crap. He would just lie and tell you the most outlandish stories, like they're the most believable thing. So he told us this thing, and he told us this a few times, how he was at a pep rally one time at school, and he had been carrying his Yoda figure with him from Empire Strikes Back. So the band during the pep rally, the school band played a part of Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And which was not out of the ordinary, and bands would do that. So he was just like, yeah, Star Wars. And when he did it, he like I'm telling you what he told us. I'm not telling you that this actually happened, but so when he was like pumping his fist in the air, like yelling, yeah, Star Wars. And when he did, I guess he pumped real hard and he let go, and Yoda went flying onto the field, and it landed in the tuba. And the tuba player hit the note, and then Yoda comes flying out and lands on the xylophone, and so the xylophone guy hits the right when he hits the key, and it flips off, and then it hits the band director in the head, and he picks it up, he throws it, and then my friend catches it. Right, that's the story that he told
us. Yeah, I believe that happened. Also, I believe that Michael Keaton is a friend of mine also.
He told us that story for
God, that is that's one of those like teen comedy things that are really bad that come on like Nickelodeon during the 80s, and like all that thing happens, like obviously that's how it happened.
Make
it up. Yeah that's what it sounds like. Anyways, yeah. So man, okay, these are possibly three of my favorite screw off G.I. Joe guys in the this rec room shipwreck.
Right. Laying there, he's laying there reading a magazine with he's got his parrot on his shoulder.
Yeah,
like laying down with a parrot on his shoulder. This is great.
Breaker and
Footloose. And Footloose, yeah.
Footloose is like he is the stereotypical like a Vietnam guy.
Man.
He's even got the foliage in his helmet still.
He sounds like Tommy Chong.
He kind of does.
He's like he yeah, he's, yeah.
Breaker, the guy does all the communication stuff, and Shipwreck is a pirate, I guess. But
yeah, these guys look like the village people. they should have gotten Gung Ho in there because he would really fit in.
So they're
watching TV. I guess Breaker's constantly monitoring every channel in the history of the world. He's a comms nerd. But so the Cold Southern video comes on. And these dudes are just getting into it. They're like, oh yeah, Cold Southern. And so they just get up and they're like zombies. They're like just chanting Cold Southern. And they're splitting. So they go and they take a G. I think they grab an off striker or a they vamp. Do. I think it was vamp. So they're going to leave, and there's a checkpoint there. Okay. So these poor security guards are trying to stop him, and they break through, of course, you know, whatever. But there's a sign on the checkpoint that says stop. But over the stop, it's got a circle slash general prohibition thing, you know, the circle with the slash. So I guess it's don't stop, but the barricade's down. So I guess maybe do stop. I don't know what I'm very confused as to what the
It's
as
just a
what those.
big don't. Also, was this around the same time that Tomax and Zaymont go and meet with Cobra Commander? We've decided we're going to be your partners.
Yeah, they're going to split the profits of Cold, because Cold at this point they reveal that Cold Slither is like in the top 10 of hit songs. Like it's the
Yeah.
number, it's climbing the charts, man. This dude, these dudes are like,
And they're like, all right, you know, if you actually have a good plan here, all right, we'll back you again. Let's do this.
So then Cobra Commander, you know, he basically decides he's holding the world hostage at this point. So he wants oh no, so under the concert starts. That's right. The concert's
Yeah.
like in full swing, and there's like a
That's what it is
bazillion,
during the concert.
Cold Slither fans. These dudes are just like, you know,
Little Slither.
dude, everyone's so excited to see Cold Slither. And like Cobra Commander just flat out broadcasts this thing, and he's all like, I'm enslaving all of you guys, and I want $100 billion.
Yeah.
Like he skips the Dr. Evil business, and he just goes
Goes
right
right
to
to it, man.
like, I'm like,
No
man, that's even
chill.
that's a good ransom now.
Yeah, no joke. And the best, one of the best lines in there is they're all at the show, and someone says something, and like Footloose says, "Yeah, let's get mellow."
I'm telling you, he's Tommy Chong. He is
Yes, he
Tommy
is.
Chong, man. So like, God, so this concert's going on, and the Dreadnoughts are playing their whole deal, and so they decide lip syncing a 5 minute song is just too much work, and they just start throwing their instruments, and they're leaving. Hey man, for $5 an hour, I don't blame you, man. These guys are like loud quitting. Like good for these guys, man. Like good for them, man. I'm
Yeah.
glad they're
Lady Jane, Scarlet, and CoverGirl, all three show up. So you can see all of them there show up to foil the. They show up dressed like groupies to hit the Dreadnoughts in the like the in the green room.
Why were they wearing disguises?
I don't know,
Like,
man.
what was the, like? I get maybe there was some Cobra security there or something like that. I don't know. But I guess that makes sense. But this was, and they did, these women just throw so much kung fu on these poor Dreadnoughts,
Yeah.
and they just like beat the living snot out of these guys. This was great because I believe that canonically all three of them are
Oh yeah.
proficient in martial arts. I
I
think that's just
definitely
something they give to
Scarlet
every.
is one of the big ones.
Yeah. I think that's something they give to every lady G.I. Joe. They're all like martial arts experts or whatever. Yeah, so they beat up the Dreadnoughts, because the Dreadnoughts in the cartoon were always just comic relief. They were always these bumbling idiots, and which is a very sharp contrast to the comic. In the comics, they were just like a bunch of psychopaths. They were a bunch of crazy bikers. But so the Cover Girl, Lady J, and Scarlet break into the control room, and they run Cobra Commander and Destro and
I think it's like
Baroness off.
Jay, Lady J or Scarlet. One of them grabs the chainsaw gun and slices through the
Saw
consoles.
saws the console in half.
Yeah.
There was a really funny bit where they were like demonstrating how much power they had over the audience. They were like, so Cobra Commander's like, say Hail Cobra, and the whole crowd's like, Hail Cobra, and then like, say Hail Cobra Commander, and like, Hail Cobra Commander, and then like Baroness grabs and she's giving these commands, she's giving these dumb, say Destro and Baroness are the best, and they're like, Baroness and Destro are the best, and Commander just gets fed up with it, snatches the mic back. This is really funny. So they break the concert up, and so but I guess that just turning it off, I guess, freed everybody. I guess it freed the whole mind control
Well,
thing.
like right before they did that, I think it was I want to say Scarlet gets on there, says, and Shipwreck Breaker and Footloose will be on PT duty for the next month.
It was KP. It was
KP,
KP. It was KP. Yeah, that was pretty fun. The whole crowd is like,
yeah.
Shipwreck, Footloose, and Breaker will be on KP duty
The
for the next
gag runs
month.
its course. They saw the console and after, like, man, where are we?
That was really funny. So then, but then we get, here it is. This is what we've been waiting for this entire time. So
it's not what I've been waiting for, but okay.
Oh, it's what I've been waiting for the whole
average
time.
Joe's.
So the Joes are in the control room and they're like, man, these people are here for a concert. We've got to salvage it somehow. And so they're like, are you thinking what I'm thinking? And oh God, here it is. So
I got a hand to them though. They were smart enough to put rock and roll on lead guitar.
Well, I'm gonna get to that in a second. I'm gonna get to that in a second. So and they did not put him on lead guitar, and I'm gonna tell you why in a second. So they announced the Average Joe's band, and it's all the Joes that were on this mission together, and they're on stage and they just rip through the actual G.I. Joe theme. Mm-hmm. It was the dumbest, cheesiest thing of all time, and I love every second of this. It was like it's like if Soundwave decided to like play the actually perform the Transformers theme at a concert in the Transformers. This is great. It's Shipwreck is playing drums,
mm-hmm.
Breaker's playing keyboards, Rock and Roll, Rock and Roll Footloose and Duke are all playing some sort of guitar that vary between two strings and three strings,
mm-hmm.
and then Lady J Scarlet and Cover Girl are doing the three woman backup vocal thing, which I hate. But so rock and roll canonically played in rock bands.
Mm-hmm.
That's. But he's also a machine gunner, and rock and roll in army terms means to shoot full auto with machine gun. So it's like a double thing there. But he canonically played in rock and roll. So I'll buy him being able to just get up and jam.
Yeah.
Footloose, maybe. I mean, he's kind of a Tommy Chong dude.
Yeah, jam. I would say he could at least get up there and jam.
Yeah. Somewhere. Yeah, I can see it. I can see him. You know, like that. So. The ladies are singing, and that's you know, whatever. Of course, Breaker's playing the keyboards, and I'll buy that. Shipwreck is playing the drums. I don't know. I don't really buy him being a drummer, but drums are I play at a lot of instruments, and I'm not taking anything away from anyone that's actually good at these things. But drums are the easiest instrument to attain like a base level of competency at. Like mm-hmm. You can count to four. Drums. You can just play. You can just play drums. It's you can keep a beat. You know, whatever. You're not good, but you can at least, you know, kind of keep a beat as long as you have some semblance of rhythm.
Won't be hurt, but you can play.
But I absolutely do not buy Duke playing an instrument at all.
I could see him being that the guy who plays Wonderwall at a campfire. This is as far as I can get.
Man, I don't see it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all, but but here's some fun info on rock and roll. That rock and roll, according to this file card, rock mm-hmm. and roll was a surfer in Malibu.
Oh, I can see
it. That was a weightlifter, and played bass guitar in local rock bands.
This all checks
Do
out.
Do you know? Yeah, which I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Do you know who else was a surfer, a weightlifter, and a bassist around Malibu? At this time, and also had long blonde hair and a blonde beard.
Real life.
Well, that's right. That's right, brother. It's Hulk Hogan.
It all works together.
Brother. It fits right in.
I didn't know he played bass guitar too. I knew he was a surfer.
Yeah.
I mean, he had that.
Yeah, he played bass he was actually that was what he was doing when he got into wrestling. He was he played bass in some bar bands, and there's that story about how he said like in an interview one time that he auditioned for Metallica after Jason Newsted quit.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course Hogan embellishing it was like, oh yeah, brother, and they wanted me, but I didn't have time. I didn't want to be off the road and wrestling. And I'm like, oh, I don't think that's how that went down, Hulk. And that's it. They send the crowd home happy with playing the G.I. Joe theme.
Yeah, that wouldn't check. That does not check out. That is the biggest leap of faith I've taken this entire episode. And we saw a little person, you know, gang mob boss. In a New Orleans billiards hall. Checks out to me. That all checks out. Them playing this and the people loving it does not. That is the furthest leap of faith in this whole episode.
You know, I have a friend that has a theory that any crowd will just enjoy any live music. If you just put in any band on stage, and I'm like, I don't agree with that at all. But I don't know. Maybe it happened here. I don't know.
If you're expecting to watch a really bad band, you're going to enjoy a really bad band. You're expecting to see this big hit and they're not there. No,
they played the hit. That was the only song they had. They didn't have like an album. It wasn't like they, but hold on. Let's circle back to friend of the show, Jehu, once again.
Okay.
Remember, a while back, he posted that theory that in Transformers and the G.I. Joe, there's only one song. Like every time you hear background music, it's always the same song, right? So now they finally heard a second song. No. So that's why they're excited. Well, it's a
maybe,
new song.
Maybe. I see that. Song. A lot of times, yeah, like it's a variation of the instrumental from Cold Slither.
That's what I'm saying. That's anytime you hear music, it's always.
Yeah, I see that. Oh, God, it checks out.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Mystery Soul.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're very excited to hear another song finally after all these years.
Okay. I totally cannot shame them for that. Okay. Good point. I'll go with it.
And that was it. I really cannot express how much fun I had watching this episode. This is a case where I've said before that I haven't really gone back to G.I. Joe much as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is just because I tried to go back and watch some Voltron and it aged very poorly. And I assumed this was just going to be the worst thing I'd ever seen in my life. But I'm very happy to report that this is one of the best things I have ever seen in my life. I was so thrilled. I was just absolutely like enamored with every second of this. I loved every dumb thing. I loved every cool thing. It's actually a pretty decent, solid story. I got some cool, cause I've said before, I've been on the verge of collecting your 3¾-inch G.I. Joe, 80s G.I. Joes for a while. But this may have just pushed me over the edge because there was just the toy ad part just stopped like halfway through the episode and there was no more, I'm not going to go buy like a concert stage or there wasn't like a Cobra, there wasn't like an auditorium in the Terror Drome or anything like that. But I got to see the Sky Striker, one of my favorite toys of all time. Oh, yeah. I got to see all kinds of cool characters that I like. This was super cool. And I remember liking this episode when I was a kid, even though I knew it was cheesy. So I am giving a unified rating on this one, an unprecedented, never before awarded 6 trench coats out of 5.
Wait.
So this is the best. This is the best thing that we have watched. This is the best thing that I've watched so far. At 6, I have broken the scale. I have gone to 6 trench coats.
Turned it up to 11. All right.
Out of 5, I Cold Slither has gone up to 6. To 6. What do you got? Where are you? Where are you on this?
Yeah, man. Same thing. I remember not. This is not a great episode to me in memory. It's gonna be fun to watch it and just see how ridiculous it is. And up until that last maybe minute where they were playing the Average Joes are playing, I was in it, man, completely. I will say that I made a TikTok for the show. I'll kind of give a little quick, hey guys, that's what we're doing this week and so on and so forth. I had to stop. I did one beginning before I did it. And then halfway through the episode, I had to stop, do another message. I'm like, this is the perfect episode. It has so many things I didn't even remember. And the thing is, we appreciate this more now as adults than we did as we were kids. I'm like, weird little guy. No, this is so good.
Great. I'm almost scared to watch any more G.I. Joe at this point because this is just so good. But it was it actually touched on a lot of real world stuff, and made some things make sense that don't normally make sense. Like, how was Cobra funded and whatever. What was your, my bad. I cut you off though. What was your rating?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. So honestly, with all those things, I had the fact that I had to stop and tell people, which apparently a lot of people are really into it, and they started checking things out, which I hopefully will check out the episode. Yeah, man, I got to get this thing. I will not break the scale because I sure refuse to do that. And it had me at a full 5 until that last minute. The Average Joe's brought me down to a 4.5 holographic mud huts in the swamp out of 5. But I was on there until the Average Joe's played, and I remembered why I hated the episode as a kid, because it was like, ooh, because that was the inevitable time your dad would walk in, what are you watching? And they see that, like, oh, you're a real American hero. And they're like, oh, no, yeah, nothing.
Like, what are you? What is this garbage you're watching?
Yeah, here? Pretty much. No, they didn't see all the cool stuff. They didn't see all the, yeah. They didn't see the Lilliputian man with $100,000 in the swamp. They didn't see Zartan being really cool. They didn't see real metal being played on the stage.
Yeah, man.
This was one of my favorite episodes. I'm so glad we went back and watched it. And this is even more reinforces the idea that I want to play with this more as a kind of a, you know, filler fun thing to do.
Yeah, this was easily possibly some of the most fun I've had watching anything so far. Yeah, can't say enough good about it.
Real quick, I gotta say, back in the early 90s, I had a friend named Dave. And I was like, my friends Matt and Charles and stuff, they were like, hey, if he starts talking about a job opportunity, say no. Oh, okay, whatever, man. He worked at like a K&B, remember K&B drugstores?
Yeah.
He worked at one of those, and he's talking about all he thinks he has brewing in the background. He's going to make a lot of money. I'm like, all right, man, we're hanging out one day. I'm like, what are you talking about all the time? He's like, okay, look, now I got in on the level of this opportunity, and I want you to work with me. It was Amway. He was trying to talk me into being an Amway salesman. Yeah, I'm no big no.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I had this. There was a point where back in the 90s, I had this idea where I really like at some point the idea for having a movie theater that also had bands play. And also you could have like snacks, like food or whatever, and like do like theme nights or something like that. You could have like you could show like a Western and have like a surf band play, because that kind of goes together, and you could serve like chili that night, and or you could do like the guy like a gangster movie and serve spaghetti or something, whatever. But you show old movies and that kind of thing. But I was working in a bookstore at the time, and I was stocking something, and a guy came up. He's like, hey, how you doing? And I was like, oh, he's like, hey, do you have this book? And I was like, oh, let me look for it. And then he's like, well, hey man, you ever you like working here? And I was like, oh, yeah, it's okay, whatever. He's like, well, you ever thought about owning your own business? And I was like, yeah, actually, I have. I have this idea for this thing, and foolishly just spouted out the entire plan that I had, which is real dumb. I mean, I was like 21, but he's like, well, my wife and I have this thing where we help people start their own businesses. And I was like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, see, that sounds real cool. So, hey, let me get your number and I'll give you a call about it. I'm like, okay, cool. And so he's like, he calls me a couple of days later and he's like, why don't we meet at this McDonald's and down here? I'll go over some stuff. And I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. So I'm gonna meet the guy, and he's like, talk to me about all this stuff. And then he's going through and he's drawing this diagram or whatever. And it's like, and I'm like,
wait,
I'm like, yeah, it's the thing at the top. And then there's like these two things and then three things and then four things underneath that. And I was like, is this a pyramid scheme? He's like, no. It's not. This is like a triangle plan for success. It's like, no.
Use your words. What are pyramids? What are triangles? So, one sides of a pyramid.
And so he gets to the top and he's all like, and he's like, and then in a minute I'm going to reveal the name of it's at the top of the pyramid, and then he goes on and on, and finally he's like, well, it's Amway, but don't let that scare you off. And then so he let me borrow all these like videos and stuff on Amway and books and all this stuff. He's like, take this home with you, and and so it only costs this much money to get in. And and I'm like, I don't know. I was like, just to be polite, I was like, yeah, I'll take it home and watch it. So that ended up telling everyone that I worked with and my friends that I was like, hey guys, I got some Amway videos. And so it was like, oh my God. So we spent like all night, like one weekend night, just like getting stupid drunk and watching these Amway videos and dying laughing at these things. They were very funny. And I hate that I had to give them back, because it was one of those weird, like kind of pre-YouTube weirdo, like mm-hmm. artifact things that I kind of wish that I could like scan or whatever. But that was some weird stuff. I never, I don't think I ever saw that guy. Like, I ended up giving him back to him, but I don't think I ever saw that guy again. I assumed that he'd be the kind of guy that you would just see around town a lot, trying to. Like, yeah. Hey, how are you? How's it going? You ever thought about it? Like, oh no, I've never thought about having a business.
I like being a slave.
Yeah, I just want to get paid.
Yeah, own business? No, nothing like that, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for hanging out with us, listening to us ramble about stuff in our lives and this amazing episode. And I cannot wait to talk to Michael Charles Hill. That is his name. Three names. Michael Charles Hill. Remember that.
Can you text that to me so I don't forget it when we're talking?
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Okay, I'm
getting. So yeah, man, I'll be really excited. Hopefully, you can join. We can have a meeting with him and interview and ask him all kinds of things. He's willing to talk to about all the stuff he's done, even like talking about Space Adventure Cobra, all that stuff. So
oh, good.
Definitely. Yeah. All right, y'all. Thanks for being here this week, and we will see you next time.
Later. I do have something to say before we go, though. I have a little thing to say, though, which is that we're Cold Slither, and you'll be joining us soon. A band of vipers playing our tune. With an iron fist and a reptile hiss, we shall rule. We're tired of words. We've heard it before. Not going to play the game no more. Don't tell us what's right. Don't tell us what's wrong. Too late to resist, because Cobra is strong. We're Cold Slither, heavy metal machine. Through the eyes of a lizard, and you will dream. When the venom stings, a new order brings our control. I swear to God, I want to go start a band right now and cover this. Like
that song has been an earworm in my head all day.
I want to know who wrote it. I need to know who wrote this, because
I want to find out. Michael Charles Hill did.
We're gonna find out on Wednesday then. So
sounds amazing. Y'all take it easy. Have a great week and talk to you later. See ya.
Yo, Joe.
And now for the greatest rock and rollers in the land, the Average Joe Band.
He'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
Mises Guys is performed by Evan Johns and Ed Strickland with Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. Research is also done by Evan Johns, Ed Strickland, and Boo of the Excellent Underground.com. All used images are property of Hasbro, Sunbow, Paramount, and/or Marvel. And without you, none of this would be possible. So thank you so much for being here, and we look forward to you being here every week.